Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming up at 8:25, just like what Jeff said. Sorry, I'm fuzzy. The dangerous one, Darryl Ryder, joins us at 8:25 this morning. I'm sorry, okay? Hey, you're fuzzy too over there.
Hey, Darryl was out there. Gave it a good run. He was pumped. He said he beat you in the first game.
He beat me in the I beat him
Everyone
in the first game.
Everyone beat Ken in the first
Shut
game.
Shut up. I beat him in the first game. He beat me in the second game when
God,
I was actually good.
You didn't even
good.
Break 100.
Okay. So you know what? So what? At least I broke a sweat.
Do you know what? Yes, he did.
Sweat bucking in there.
At one point, I was toweling Ken off while he was making announcements.
He was toweling me down, which is easily the most disgusting thing you've done. That's saying something there.
It was like, so gross. I could feel it through the napkin.
I was so hot.
You were getting your cardio in yesterday on those bowling lanes.
Oh, my God. And then I shot a 121 the second time, which I saved it in the final five frames. Kid was there. He couldn't believe it. I was great
was
in the
absurd.
Final five frames. It was ridiculous.
It was money, man. You went out with a blaze of glory.
And then in the first one, I had a 98, which it's a practice game. And, yes, I have had higher golf scores, which was pretty outrageous. So, you know what? I'm just an athlete. What are you going to do? So obviously I'm qualified to talk about sports, including...
This is one of the least athletic radio shows in the history of the city.
Yeah, that's true. Including finely tuned... Yeah, because Dustin saves the other one. Including finely tuned athletes to talk about, like Francisco Lindor, who could be out 7 to 8 weeks.
Oh, why did you have to...
We got to do it.
Come on.
Sorry, this is where we're going
Debbie
with this.
Debbie Downer. I'm trying to be positive on a Monday.
No.
Ken wants
no.
to talk about the future of the Indians.
No, that's not true. I do, but are you saying the future of the Indians is bleak?
I mean, I expected you to wish Lindor a happy birthday on Facebook
Judas Priest. Here's Ron Darling from MLB Network about Francisco Lindor and his injury timetable.
Well, anytime you are an explosive player and you suffer a leg injury, whether it's a groin, a hamstring, or a calf strain, it's one of those things that affects you in every single way. The one thing that you can do as a player when you strain your calf, you'll be able to continue to throw and some maybe light T work, things like that. But the calf strain seems to be one of those, when you're ready, take two more weeks. And I was looking at Cleveland's schedule, and you know that the beginning of April, any time on the East Coast or in Cleveland, Chicago, all those towns, it's extremely cold. But I did see towards the end of April, they go to Houston, they go to Miami, two places that are under the roof. Maybe that might be a proper time to bring them back, because at least you know the climate is what you want it to be.
Is he playing the schedule game there with the Indians?
It sounds like he's playing a little bit of injury schedule game with Francisco Lindor, okay?
He's like, well, you know, they start out at Minnesota, then they come home for the White Sox two games, then it's Toronto.
This was just one more kick in the ass, so for a lot of Indians fans out there. And you have Baseball Prospectus last Thursday, they put it out. They pick him to win 96 games. They got him scoring more runs than the Boston Red Sox this year. Just point that out.
I know.
So there becomes a question of whether or not we overreact, whether it's true and we overreact, or we overreact and we say that it's bad, or it's true that they're actually a good baseball team and we need to put their feet to the fire to make some moves. And I still think they're finding themselves in the worst spot possible, where their division around them sucks, but they might not think they're good enough, and I think they don't think they're good enough by the lack of moves. They don't think they're good enough to compete with the big boys in the AL. They don't think they're really good enough to compete, or they don't think they can make the moves to compete, really, truly do it with Houston, with Boston. I guess the Yankees you throw in there as well. I think that they don't believe that. And that bothers me. I think it should bother a lot of Indians fans. I don't want to turn this into Dolan sucks, Dolan's cheaps. I don't think that. I think if they were really that bad, and people are going to hate it, if they were really that bad, they wouldn't have made the World Series a couple years ago. But now I'm getting ready for spring training's the one bastion here where football, you're not looking forward to the draft the way you did. You're still looking forward to it, but you're not. Free agency, I think there's some heat there. The NBA, we're rooting for the Cavaliers to lose. And here with spring training, there's been very few moves during the offseason. And then the one guy who is MVP candidate, who is a guy that, yes, we worry about his future, but is the bar none best one on your team. Now there's a calf injury as we get set to start the season. It's just one hit after another for this club.
Well, and I have said recently in the last week, I said the one saving grace for the Indians after this offseason in which the fans, I mean, I don't want to call it a mutiny because it's not like the fans are done with the Indians. They're not. They're excited about, you know, the warm weather and the team winning games and hot dog nights and fireworks and winning this division again and going back to the postseason where the expectations are humongous for this team every year now. It's that they needed to just start playing games. They needed to get out there and start winning games, and then we could stop talking about this offseason, which has been mired in negativity, and then this happens. And to me, the one guy that I worry about the most is not Lindor. I actually worry more about Jose Ramirez and what this does in the lineup and what kind of pitches he's going to see because he tailed off big time at the end of the last year.
Yep, you're right.
And this lineup, you know, in the past, at least the beginning of last year, we had Edwin. We had, you know, Michael Brantley coming back. And then, not to mention the fact that, you know, Yonder Alonso was in there. There were not a lot of holes in that lineup. Now all I see is holes. And if you take Francisco Lindor out of the mix to start the season, I don't know how they're going to score runs.
I think I'm not asking for much. I just know where this conversation goes. This is where you start to put on your old guy hat and realize that you and I have been here our entire lives, have been on the air together for a few years. The station's been on almost 8 years now. And you know how this always goes back to this conversation over really the last almost 20 years now, is that if you don't get over the hump or you don't approach it again, it's going to turn into the same conversation. It's not even a conversation I agree with. And it's just, it sucks the life out of any regular baseball fan, regular sports fan, and certainly out of the most hardcore Indians fan. It's a fight that I just can't stand having every single time it gets brought up. It's always against the ownership. It's always against where they're at, why they need to sell, why they need to get out of it. And it's always something that's never proactive for themselves. I'm not saying that they should blame the fans. I don't think that you should blame the fans. I think they have made some mistakes. I'm not saying that they're perfect out here. But what I am pointing out is that you can already see it, and that's part of the thing that I'm afraid of. You remember when we talked about that opening kickoff night on that Thursday night and how I was against it. I'm not against it for a football reason. I'm only against it where if you lose, it's the only game in town there's going to be some hellish reaction. You just know if this thing falls short, and a lot of people are getting that feeling already, if this thing falls short, Anthony, you're going to have some people who are going to be as livid and as loud and boisterous against the organization as we've ever found, and it becomes Victor Martinez all over again, Cliff Lee and CC Sabathia all over again, and that was a long time ago already, but it's already back in your mind, and it's the same ownership group, so it makes it a short-term thing, and that's the ugliness that I don't want. I do want to be happy, or at least I want to be respectful and try to enjoy that they got really, really close at one point if the window were to close. But I don't think people are going to take it that way. I think they're going to be outrageously frustrated and angry because you'll start ripping salary off the top.
Well, I want to hear from fans on this, what their feeling is today as they, you know, saw that news go down on Friday. 216-578-0092. Do you think this is something that is going to impact the season big time, or do you think this is something by the end of the year we'll be looking back and going,
if it's a strain,
not that big of a deal?
If it's a strain, I want him back as soon as possible, but I also don't want him to re-aggravate the injury, do I? No. So I want him to be back. So what Ron Darling says when he's playing his own schedule game, there's some truth to that. Cold weather, you got to loosen up them joints, you got to loosen up those legs, you got to get that going, and I don't want it to turn into, don't shoot me here, I don't want to turn it into Michael Brantley, where you bring him back, where you rush him back, and all of a sudden things go to hell again, and then we're trying to get our way through this season with a guy who's hurt, and we're not winning as many games because he's a guy who obviously sets the table for everybody in the lineup and is the best hitter that we have. I mean, pure swinger that, yeah, you could try to throw Ramirez in there, but the best pure swinger that I think we have. So I think you're right. I think some people are probably feeling a little bit down about it because when you say 7 to 8 weeks, you're playing in a cold weather city, it could be a little bit longer. Because I don't want him to go out there on a cold day and re-aggravate things and mess things up for me while I'm trying to play myself into the position in July.
Well, this was just supposed to be the week that we were starting to talk about spring training and the pitchers and catchers reporting. And to have this, I mean, this is now, would you say Lindor, you know, outside of anything Browns, is, you know, the number one athlete in this town right now?
Yes.
And this is the one guy.
He should be.
That you never worry about.
I understand the Browns are the Browns. Baker Mayfield's Baker Mayfield. And he's an incredible superstar already. But outside of him, because of where Francisco Lindor is in the city, where he is in Major League Baseball, he's one of the few guys, I think, that you can actually promote in baseball with some success right now. And where his contract will be, he's got to be at the forefront of everybody's mind. And it just, it feels, when I see that, it's not to the tune of Michael Brantley historically, but I'm going, oh my God, we're going to mishandle this thing and things are going to go to hell again. And I don't want to feel that way. But I think a lot of people, when they first heard that, go, Judas Priest, we're going down this road again. 216-578-0092. More of this coming up. We'll get to your calls. How you feeling about this as we get ready for this Indian season? Because this is a huge dent, because I don't want them out there in cold weather. And also coming up, a season so bizarre, it just might make you want to go on a vacation. It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, Live on the Fan. The El Dangerous One, Darryl Ryder, 825. Also, I got this juice here. I want to ask you about it before I drink it.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
Let's pack this. She's like, just try this juice. This says, I don't know about this stuff here. All right.
Is it what I think it is? Because it's I saw that brown, greenish flavored.
It's called Synergy Organic. KOMBUCHA.
Sounds wonderful.
Kombucha?
Yeah, I am not a fan.
Really?
Not a fan at all.
Hey, she told me to take it with me. It's a glass, but all right.
Yeah, enjoy
is
your...
Is this like that juice place next door?
Oh, yeah, no. What you're drinking there is basically a carton full of bacteria.
Oh, so really?
Yeah.
What?
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll save this for later
it's
on.
It's supposedly supposed to be healthy.
You sure about that?
So I'm drinking toilet water here. Okay. Well, that's fantastic.
Toilet water would be healthier.
All right. Well, we'll get to that a little bit later on. We'll get to that a little bit later on because I got
it's only been fermenting there for 2 years, but you enjoy that.
Tone, we got to talk about something that's even better. We got to talk about the Indians and how everybody just hates them
okay.
now. And especially with what happened just a couple days ago where we found out Francisco Lindor could be out 7 to 8 weeks. Now, what Ron Darling said, and we parted that up because there are plenty of people who said it, but he's bringing up the schedule. You're in a cold weather city. You're going to start off in a cold weather city. You're starting off in Minneapolis, for crying out loud. So you're playing the Twins up there, and he's supposed to be out 7 to 8 weeks, so he could miss the first week. I'm thinking it could be even longer because if we're talking about a muscle injury, cold weather can affect it there. I know it's not always going to be perfect. I'd rather wait if this were to be the way things go. I'd rather wait on bringing him back than have to have some force. You remember what happened with Michael Brantley a couple years ago. They seemed to speed up that timeline. He was back for like a day, and then it went back to hell. And now he's gone on to hopefully stay healthy and have a nice career, and I do mean that, and I wish him well down in Houston. But with this, he sets the table for everything. And what I'm getting frustrated by is I put the baseball prospectus thing out, people don't believe it. You think that the division, the rest of the division sucks, it's not enough. Where can I be positive? Where can I be positive about a team that's still supposed to win the division here? That's what I'm getting frustrated by. Like, I'm going to get to the phones here in a second. 216-578-0092. I'm trying to be positive and uplifting. I am an Indians fan. I'm trying to get a little bit excited about this year. And everywhere I turn, I'm getting no opportunity to do so. Just one thing sucks right after the other.
Well, this is going to be this is really going to test, I think, a lot of fans, because you really have to have faith and trust an organization that has given you reasons in the past to trust them. But it is going to be a tougher sell right now. And the other thing that I worry about, Ken, the temptation to try to get him back in the lineup ASAP. I really hope, you know, if he's not starting out the season, they're going to get off to a good start. I just know there's going to be this worry. How are we going to get fans' butts in the seats?
Yep.
How are we going to manufacture runs with a lineup and an outfield that right now looks on paper to be by far the worst of any of the teams that are supposedly going to contend for World Series? There are so many holes in that lineup, and that temptation is going to be, especially from Lindor, too. Lindor is a competitor. He's going to want to get out there. The Indians are going to want to have him out there. They have to try to resist all of that and weather the storm early in the year. I hope they win games. I really hope they win games early on, because I get nervous that they're going to be trying to rush him and get him back on the field.
It becomes, what do I do with him? Because I know I can survive 500 or sub-500 in the first month. I think I can do that. But if it gets a little bit out of hand, I'm going to have a real big problem keeping him out of the lineup and not wanting to hurry things up. Because I think people, obviously, you want to start off with a bang to start off the season. But if our most important hitter is not eligible or not healthy enough to play on an everyday consistent basis, I don't want to hurt what he can do later on in the season. Because we've seen seasons like this go awry before because of injury, and especially with an all-star break here, you think any bit of this is negative? If they don't win this division, if they're not ahead of this division by the time the all-star break gets here and all the cameras are on us, you'll be talking about that the whole game. And all the national media will be talking about that the whole game. And then we'll talk about what to do during the trade deadline. So when you have a player of this magnitude who goes down, it has such an effect on everybody else where I'm not talking about trading him, my God, but there will be other names that get brought up. Well, to keep people away from talking about that, I need to win games. And that means I need Francisco Lindor. And now, because of the weather, it would prohibit keeping him on the field, and then I would need to put more on other people. Erica in Berea, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, so I'm a diehard Indians fan, and I do love Frankie Lindor. But I look back at, like, Lonnie Chisenhall especially. Everything that they talked about was specifically because they put him out on the field too soon. And I think that they're honestly going to learn from that. And I think keeping Frankie out, you know, an extra 2 or 3 weeks or whatever after they think he's okay is a good idea. And it might hit or it might hurt ticket sales for a little bit. But I think that in the long run, I think it's going to be the best so we don't end up with something like Brantley or Lonnie Chisenhall.
Erica, I'm not talking down to you at all, but the ticket sales thing, it's not at the back of my mind. It's not the last thing I'm thinking about, but it's certainly not the front. We talk about tickets and people showing up all the time. I just want to win baseball games. I'll worry about the tickets during the season because I'm sure we'll have the great big attendance show. I agree with everything else. I just don't want to be worried about butts and seats. Go ahead.
Right. No, and I totally agree. I mean, I think that, you know, it also affects winning games. You know, if we treat him like we did, you know, Lonnie or Brantley, then he's not going to be in those games that we need him in. So I would rather have him out, you know, a month at the start of the season than worry about this off and on thing throughout the whole season.
I agree.
And potentially win or lose more games than we would.
I totally agree. Erica, thank you very much for the call. Hank and Maslin, you're next up on the Fan. Go ahead, Hank.
Hey, guys. I kind of agree with the previous caller. We got to get Lindor game ready, and I like the idea of even having him DH every other day if he can.
Well, she said she was willing Hank, she said she was willing to let him wait.
Well, she's an idiot then.
Well, wait.
Oh,
Hank,
come on, Hank. We finally get a female caller, and this is how she's treated.
Would you have kicked him if that was a man?
If it was the other way around,
man, an idiot.
No, of course he wouldn't.
Kenny,
he's very sensitive right now.
Wow, look at you, real Renaissance man over there, very millennial over there.
Let me ask you, Kenny, if you were to go that route,
Kenny Kidd over there,
if you were to go that route and put Lindor on the DH, I mean, making him DH, what are you doing, Carlos Santana?
How many games did he DH last year? Where's the positional split?
Would he have ever?
Thank you. Please let me know. Go ahead. What'd you say, Anthony?
No, I'm saying that.
Because I can't just say, well, make him a DH. There's a rhythm to some of this stuff where you might not be putting him in the best position to DH.
No, but now you're weakening the rest of your lineup because Carlos Santana, I'd imagine then you would have him play first, and then what are you doing with Bowers? So now you've weakened an already weakened lineup. I don't think they're going to go that route. And Lindor is somebody, the way he plays the game, I mean, he's going to be all in. He's either going to play or he's going to sit. I don't think he can DH.
I don't think it's easy enough to just say have the guy DH. He had one game. I got this. He had one game in 15. He had one game in 16. He had one game in 17 and 18. So he's been a DH 4 times. I don't think you can just make a guy a DH and that's it. And do that. Like, you try to do that. Some guys come from the National League and then they try to do the American League thing and they try to be a DH. It's like Adam Dunn was awful at the beginning of things when he was a DH. Like, some guys, they have to find themselves into a rhythm. And I think it's going to be very difficult to take a guy like that who's been a DH 4 times and say that he's a DH every time. Now, I might have been able to argue that with Hank, but, of course, he said something terrible about Erica, and we are not going to tolerate such talk. Ron and Westlake, you're next up in the Fan. Go ahead, Ron.
Battle of the sexes.
Yeah. The kombucha that you're about to drink or drinking is the most horrible thing I've ever tasted in my entire life.
Is it really that bad?
No. It's really, really bad. I think I'd rather have a case of syphilis than drink another thing of that.
See, that's what that was, the whole lead-up.
You know, we're trying to have a serious discussion on the Cleveland Indians.
I did.
We have misogyny and STDs getting brought up.
I did take a look yesterday at Yorktown Lanes, and again, thank them for putting up with us for the entire day. They were bowling there till they were shutting the lights off. Okay, I did look. They have their Inferno Lounge, which all their groups come to play music.
Is that the bar?
Yeah.
We were in the bar.
We were over the bar.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see here. Their list is still up. Now, we missed this. There were the Moderns. They were there on January 26th.
Okay.
You had the Cold Blue Steel on February 2nd. And then on the 9th, not only did you have Scoliosis Jones, you also had Syphilis Diller.
Oh,
we
how
missed.
Did we miss that?
We oh, missed on would have been Saturday. We missed Syphilis Diller.
There's a local band called Syphilis Diller
You're
out there.
You're damn right there is.
I believe it's pronounced Syphilis Diller.
That's syphilis,
thinking.
Yes.
That's good thinking right there.
Yeah, no connection.
By the way, Fan Bowl pictures are available at 923thefan.com. There's also some videos up there, I'm sure. Ben was taking videos all the time, so. It was either that or
everything.
He's trying out for Boogie Nights 2 from what the displays people brought where they were putting. So they're up there at Fan Bowl at 923thefan.com. Check out the pictures from Fan Bowl. Let me get to Ted on a cell. Ted, you're next up on the fan.
Hey, guys, listen here, man. I cannot spend a dime on the Indians when they've got a pitiful outfield.
Oh, geez,
they've got a catcher that can't even hit 200. I don't know who's going to play short when Lindor's not there. And I mean, who's the setup guy for the closer? This team has got more holes than Swiss cheese.
I'm going to take one for the team.
And Swiss cheese has a lot of holes, so I understand the analogy.
Ted, did you go to a Browns game in 2016 or 17?
I did, actually. I did go. I left quite early, but I went.
So you were willing to pay for that crap, but you aren't willing to pay for this crap.
No, if we're
going to compare crap, let's just talk about which is stinkier here, Ted.
No,
can we do that
for
a second?
Free ticket. It was a free ticket.
Somebody paid for that crap, Ted, is what I'm saying. So you're saying, could I give you a free ticket to the Cleveland Indians?
Okay, you can give me a free ticket to the Cleveland
Indians.
Well, then
don't be calling me up, money bag, saying that you aren't going to spend the money on the ticket if you're going to take free tickets to other crap.
Jeez, come on, man. They put holes in our balloon, man. They tell us they're going to compete.
You can only put one hole in the balloon. Too.
Yeah, because once you do that, it pops. There's nothing
going
on there.
It's not like four holes, then it pops.
The ship is sunk. It's gone, man. There's air out of the balloon. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's a one-team town now, the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, Judas Priest.
That's all.
One team town.
All right, I like a chant.
One team town.
Ted, thank you for the...
One team station. One team...
One show station.
Thank you for the positive and uplifting message, Ted. I really do appreciate it. This is what it always turns into, and this is why I'm a little leery to talk Indians, because it always turns into somebody go, oh, those cheap bastards, I'm not paying for those tickets anymore. What do you mean I'm paying for the tickets? If you bought tickets, and this is true, I know football's a different sport over the last two, not 2019 or 2018, I should say, 2016 and 17, who were the starting quarterbacks at the beginning of the season?
Oof.
Bob Griffin and then Cody Kessler.
And you went and watched.
Well, excuse me. It was supposed to be Cody Kessler, and he couldn't even hold a job through the first day. They weren't even wearing pads yet, and he couldn't hold the job. And then it was DeShone Kizer. So I can even understand a little bit of DeShone Kizer, but here we go. We're just going to turn it into that show. Is that what it's going to turn into? Because I just won't take calls. I will sit here, and I will talk draft. Before I sit here and have conversations about Dolan's cheaps and I'm not paying for tickets.
But I guess I just
then
don't understand.
And we get the other side who say that this is wrong with sports fans.
Here's what I don't understand.
There's a little bit of truth to that, by the way.
If we're going to talk about what a great sports town this is, and look, this is why this station is doing as well as it is. It's why this show is doing as well, because you guys are a great sports town. However, if you're just going to decide not to go to games when the teams are bad, then what kind of sports town are
we? That's what I told Eric. Well, first off, you want something that you can
see.
And
this team's not bad.
That's palatable.
This team is still going to go to the playoffs.
Exactly. That's the point. It's like you still have Jose Ramirez who's good. Trevor Bauer, even though he rubbed some of the hosts around here the wrong way, he's still a really good pitcher. Is he not a really good pitcher?
Yes.
You and him get along very well, which is odd,
swimmingly.
By the way. You guys get along very well. He's a really good pitcher. Corey Kluber, as much as some people hate him after the postseason, is a really good pitcher. Carlos Carrasco is a really good pitcher. Jose Ramirez can hit the ball very well. Francisco Lindor, whenever he comes back, is a very good hitter out there, okay? Terry Francona is one of the best managers in baseball. and I'm going to have to make some comparison between this. That's what I don't want to do. That's why when Erica called in, I said, I don't want to do the whole tickets thing because you start to go down the wrong road when you do that. You get to Leighton and Elyria. Leighton, you're next up on the fan. Go ahead. I'm worked into a shoot. Leighton, I apologize.
No, you're good. No, I'm just tired of all these fans just saying how the Indians are losing this, they're losing that. You know, you look at the rest of the league and you got the Red Sox, you got the Yankees, you got the Astros, you got all these other teams that are just loaded with talent. And, you know, the Indians, we have Jose Ramirez, we still have Corey Kluber, we have Trevor Bauer, we have Carlos Carrasco. We have one of the best pitching staffs still in all of baseball. So I think that overall we got to look at what we have and see how they can produce and help this team out. And at the end of the day, are they still going to make the playoffs? And, you know, that management, they're going to make trades. They're going to put the best players in the right position. So I just think that saying that they're terrible is bad.
It's become so tough, Leighton, because I think the regular fan, and you bring some common sense to this, and thank you very much for the call. The regular fan knows that they're not a horrific team whatsoever, and they shouldn't be horrific. The bottom shouldn't fall out. But I think for a lot of folks out there, the AL Central isn't enough anymore. And I think that when you win a division, there should be some reflection, some enjoyment. Now, I don't think you should celebrate it year three the way you did year one if you haven't gotten over the hump. I would agree with that. But I think for a lot of people that you've played well enough, they've played well enough for you to really care again. And I don't think you want to care. I think you want to be in Cavs land. If it's for the Indians, you want to be bad enough where you can get a bunch of, you can acquire a bunch of prospects, develop those prospects, and see if you can make a run again, just like with the Cavs. I think that people, even though second-round picks are not that great, they're excited for second-round picks and multiple ones, and a chance at Zion Williamson. So I think for a lot of Indians fans, you do not believe, and part of this is just the truth. I'm not bagging on you. You don't believe that they can beat the Red Sox. You don't seriously believe that they can beat the Astros or even the Yankees. And that you believe that you'll win the division and they'll get to the postseason and then they'll get beat again and then we'll go through this whole thing all over again because you're trying to please two masters. That's what it's become. That's the truth of the matter.
I have no problem being critical about this offseason for the Indians organization. I understand their limitations, but I also understand there are some spots they could have been aggressive. They can still go out there and do something with this outfield. But at the same time, I don't understand this. Well, this just puts a damper. We're not going to watch Indians baseball this year. Like, that makes no sense to me when they're a team that is still should, if everything goes how it should go, they should still win the division. They should still go to the postseason. I mean, we're going to act like we're not going to have fun during this entire baseball season?
Up in a bit, you might want to go on a vacation. Up next, what's worse for LeBron's ego? Getting his ass handed to him or not playing at all? It's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima live on the fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.